1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 20, talks about the resurrection. And they've chosen this because it tells us that if resurrection didn't happen, then what we believe is in error and futile. It says, "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all to the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And by his grace to me, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that is within me. Whether then it is I or they, that this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for he has testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those who also fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we of all people must be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep."
Luke 24, 1 to 12. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them, who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering to himself what had happened."
Two quotes. As Ron said, it's difficult to use words that are sufficient sometimes to declare what we say, so I'm going to use somebody else's words. And these are the words of Martin Luther King. "Easter Day is above all days. It surpasses the mystery and marvel of Christmas with all the glory of the Incarnation. It asserts that man's extremity is God's opportunity. It affirms that what stops us does not stop God, and that miracle is as much a part of the end as the beginning. And then John Stott said, Christianity is at its very essence a resurrection religion. The concept of resurrection lies at its heart. If you remove it, Christianity is destroyed. And yet, this is what people think Easter is. The Easter Bunny, who's taken over from Father Christmas as being the character for Easter, and the Easter eggs, which I thoroughly enjoy, but have really very little to do with the Easter story. Instead, we have an empty tomb. Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. The cross is behind him, and the glory of heaven awaits him. Glory of heaven awaits him. Before he returns to heaven, however, Jesus appears to his disciples, and he surprised them. They weren't expecting him. After all that he had said, all that he had all that he had taught, everything that he had said, he surprised them. Ever had a surprise? We did a surprise birthday party for my nan once. We all hid, and the room was dark. She walked in, and we all switched on the light and said, "Happy birthday!" She nearly had a heart attack. Not the best of our family ideas, I'm sorry to say. And despite being told many times that by Jesus that after he died, he would rise from the dead, the followers were caught unprepared. The women went to the tomb expecting to find a body. At least they went. Even when the tomb was empty, they thought the body had been stolen. Rather than remembering that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, Jesus surprised them. When they told the disciples that he had risen, they did not believe them. Was it because of some have said that it was because they were women, and women in New Testament times, their testimony was not accepted in the law courts? No, of course not. Not at all. It was because the disciples couldn't bring themselves to believe in the hope that Jesus had risen from the dead. The women were important to Jesus and the disciples, and after seeing the way that Jesus had treated the women and his group after the 3 years of discipleship, they would have known that the women disciples' testimony was valid. They just couldn't bring themselves to believe it. Mark 16, verse 14 says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. So Jesus surprised them too. How about us? Does Jesus still surprise us? Do we find we want to trust him for everything in life, and yet still he surprises us? Do we find that we want to trust him for everything, and yet he still surprises us? I really hope so. We should never put God in a box. We should never finally believe that we fully understand him. Instead, we should be surprised sometimes when we read a verse in Scripture that we had forgotten was there, and it suddenly challenges us. Suddenly surprised by a gift from another believer. Surprised when something happens that we never saw coming, and we say, wow, God is good. And are we believing believers? Do we believe in the promise of Scripture and fully believe them? Or do we believe that that was for then, not for now? I firmly believe that Jesus still surprises his followers and rebukes them for their lack of faith. You may say, I never see God working. I would say, have you ever got used to looking for him? Have you got to the point where you're looking for God to be working in every day of your life? Or have you got used to the ways of the world? Think of the small everyday things. Give us this day our daily bread. Yet we still live under the impression that we have supplied our needs, money and food for our need. We budget, we save, and yet we forget that it's God who provides. We say, give us this day our daily bread, but then we forget that God is the one who provides all that we need. Health for each day. Every day is a miracle from God. Security to finish each day. All from Jesus. We should not be surprised when Jesus meets our needs, but rather be thankful we have such a loving, providing God. He is risen and he meets our needs. What about the big issues of faith? For example, forgiveness. Do we believe that we are truly forgiven? We pray the prayers, Father, forgive me, but too often we then carry on as though we are not forgiven. We forget the verses that say this, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Do we believe it? Will we be surprised when we go to heaven and God says to us, yes, your sins are forgiven? Really? Lord, you've forgiven my sins, all that I've done wrong? Because if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, your sins are dealt with. The sins of yesterday, the sins of today, and the sins of tomorrow. Yes, we still need to keep on asking forgiveness, for we are still fallen human beings who make mistakes daily. But every time we say sorry, we are forgiven. He is risen. And we are Christians, are forgiven. I remember a bumper sticker in America saying, not perfect, just forgiven. That sums up the Christian. Not perfect, just forgiven. And then there's provision in special need. In those times of special need when we need healing, or finance, family sadness, bereavement. Lord, please supply my need in this particularly hard time, and he does provide. Do we believe that God is there when it gets especially hard, when it gets particularly difficult? He is risen and he meets our needs, even in hard times. In answers to prayer, when we pray, do we believe that God has heard us? God hears us and he answers. It's been said many times that his answers will be yes or wait. Yes, no, or wait, sorry. Waiting can be the hardest. And wait on the Lord in its variations occurs hundreds of times in the Gospels and in the Old Testament. Wait upon the Lord and he will act. Wait upon the Lord and he is faithful. Wait upon the Lord. Jesus is risen and he hears our prayers. Then what about the second coming of Jesus? Have we given up believing on the second coming of Jesus? It's been such a long time, 2,000 years, but God has not forgotten. 2 Peter 3 verse 8 reminds us, it says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. We need to not stop believing in the second coming. Let's not be surprised and caught unawares, but rather depend on him and lean on him for all our needs. The parable on the wise and foolish virgins, of which there's a reminder there of the lamp, reminds us not to get caught napping while Jesus returns. When that happens, who knows? We're told that there will be wars and rumors of wars and famine and earthquakes and disasters. All we do know is that we are closer now than we've ever been before. Jesus warns us several times in the Gospels not to be caught by surprise by his second coming. Jesus is still in the business of surprising his disciples. You and me, it would be awful to caught totally napping when he returns. But the biggest surprise in history is the empty tomb. The tomb could not hold him. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. So we join with the rest of the kingdom of God and follow the resurrection responsibility. Come and see. Go and tell. In the meantime, let's just pray. Father, we pray that we would not be a group of disciples surprised by your actions, surprised by the way you work. Instead, Lord, we pray that we might be fully aware of what you're doing and how you're working, because our prayer life is connected to you. And our reading of Scripture reminds us of your work and how you are in action today. Lord, please be with us and help us to be disciples who are not surprised by the things you do, but rather rejoice in the kingdom of God. Amen.